Good morning. Merry Easter, everyone. It's good to have you here. I love preaching on Easter Sunday because it's a story you've never heard before. Could probably all preach our own sermon this morning. We've always got something to say. So I just encourage you to, I suppose, let's talk about this with fresh eyes today. And just have a heart to see something different, maybe something that you haven't seen before. And I really pray that, we'll just grab something just to take home with us. It's really going to encourage us or change us or just as Kev prayed, might interrupt our normal life. So I just encourage you to take hold of that. So I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see. So just put the first slide up there. I just want to start by saying this. When we look at Good Friday, it reveals the cost of love. But when we look at Easter Sunday, it reveals the power of love. It's a very simple thing to think about, but this idea that, you know, we often talk about the pain that Jesus went through in order to die for you and for me, and we look at those things and we go, we went through that Good Friday story, but today is about the power of love. It was the power of God's love in our life that got Jesus up from the grave so that we could live a life in freedom and liberty. So I just want to talk a little bit about what the power of God means. It's interesting when you look at this story in John 20, I suppose the image that for me really stuck out was this idea is that they went to the grave and Jesus was gone. He was gone. He had overcome death. He wasn't there anymore. And I just love that image because in my mind, I think there's some things in our life that just need to die. There's some things that we need to stay in the grave. And then when Jesus came out of the grave, he left those things behind. And so what we understand in this story, and he wasn't going back. The cross was final. The resurrection was forward. The cross was final. And he was moving into this resurrection life. And I don't know about you, but this promised life, I don't always get right. I struggle a little bit. I think about the life that Jesus offers me, and there's often a tension between what he offered me and how I live it out. And there's I'm not perfect. I don't know if you know that, like, about me, because I know some of you think that I am. But there's this sense that I'm being perfected. Some people are nodding, going, I'm very aware of your imperfections. Just so you know, you're not perfect either. And if you're not sure, let me just spend some time together and I'll remind you of some things just to bring you down to earth. But that's the point, right? We need Jesus. That's the power of love. That's the power is that he brings us forward. And I've got, at the moment, I've got this kind of update reminding me on my phone every day that I need to update my phone. I'm ignoring it. I don't want to. I ain't got the time for this. And I know I should. And I know I should make the time. But I'm just sometimes just like, you know, the person who just closes that every time. But I've closed it probably about 20 times so far. There's going to be some. And I think I was reflecting on this and I'm thinking, as I take hold of the resurrection story, sometimes I just want to live my old life. I just want to keep doing what we've always done. And I'm like, the Lord is just challenging me, Brooke, you need to update. Some things have changed. Like, you're living a life that I never promised for you or wanted for you, and you're still living in that space, and it's time to press the button and update. It's time to change things. And I'm just hanging on to the old stuff. Why? Because I'm in control. Whoopee-doo, I love it. I'm doing my thing, and I'm making my decisions, and when I come into Christ, he's like, I'm the new king in town. I'm in charge. And I'm rejecting the king sometimes. I'm like, I don't know. I just want to run my own life and do my own thing. But that was the old me. That's not the new me. And Jesus walked away from the grave and killed that stuff in me. And he left his grave clothes and he stepped away from the grave into a new reality. And so do I. I need to step away from the old way of thinking, the old programming, if you want to say, and I need to step into some new programming. I need to be reprogrammed into this resurrection life. And most of us would say yes, but some reason I keep going back to that old program. And he's still drawing me forward to this new program, this new way of thinking, this new way of living. So I just want to read this. It's up on the screen from Romans 6. It's for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by his by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Hear it there, new lives, not old lives, new lives. So today means new life. It means there's a new life to be had, and we step into that. And since we've been united with him in his death, we also are raised to life as he was, this resurrection life. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin may might lose its power over our life. So I may keep on sinning, I may keep on doing those old things, but I now have a different king in town that has the power to overcome the old ways of doing things. I have a renewed capacity to do things that I used to do, but I have a renewed capacity not to do them, to step into a new way of life. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. He's not going back to the grave again. He's buried it. And we need to bury it. We need to bury some stuff. And death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives for the glory of God, so that so you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God. So that's us. We're alive to God. I'm no longer dead. I'm alive to God. Not alive to myself, alive to God. What did I die? I died to my own identity, my old identity. I died to my shame, my guilt, to my fear. And Corinthians says this, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So I stepped into this new creation life. The old is gone, is the new has come. And so if you go to the next slide, I love this thought. We can't live a resurrected life using graveyard thinking. Jesus didn't come. I'll read this from Colossians 3. This is from the Message. It says, I'll read it from here. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is the real life, even though invisible to spectator, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Our life is in God now. We're not the same anymore. We're not the same anymore. And I love this picture, is that even people that, like the resurrected life that God calls us to, is different to the old life. In fact, there should be something different about who we are. When I see Jesus coming out of the grave and he appears to Mary, she thought he was a gardener. She didn't recognize him. I think this is a picture of us. When we fully grasp the resurrected life, people will not recognize the stuff that's coming out of your mouth. And we're not there yet. And we're growing in Christ and we're growing for Christ, but there comes a light that begins to shine in our life and we begin to talk and act and think differently, and that's what he's inviting us into. And people go, you're weird. You know, the Bible actually says that we're aliens and strangers on earth. It doesn't get any weirder than that, does it? When someone calls you an alien, it's not normally an encouragement. It's not like, thank you. It's normally because you've stepped out of an old life and an old world and you're from a different place. You're from a different world. And isn't that true of us? Isn't that true of us that we're not citizens of earth, we're citizens of heaven? And that I'm an alien and a stranger. This is not this place that I'm in is not necessarily my home anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm really uncomfortable in these clothes and this place. I mean, it's okay, but it's not what I'm born for. It's not why my created identity. We put up with it, but we're not necessarily, I don't want to stay here forever because I see the life that God has for us. When the disciples met with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him either. Who is this guy? So there was something different between the earthly Jesus and the resurrected Jesus, and there's something different between the old person and the new person that you won't be recognized. Because resurrection does change our appearance, not just our soul, but it changes who we are as a person. It changes the way we think. It changes how we speak. It changes everything. Because as Galatians says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I don't know about you, but if Christ is living in me, he's acting very different to the old man. So we leave it behind because we're living this new life with Christ, and then we come into this new life with him, and he clothes us with righteousness. If you go to the next slide, I've lost past my notes. No, we're back. It's good. It's all right. I don't need them. See, before Christ, and I want you to get this picture, there was the old me and then there's the new me. There was the old way of doing things, now there's the new way. There was kind of like the old programming and now there's new program. That's all I want you to go home with today. And I'm saying, what are you doing with your new programming? There's a resurrected life that Jesus wants to live in you, and we need to start living that life and stop going back to the grave, wearing our graveyard clothes, thinking, oh, that's the old me, and start thinking, oh, that's how I need to live. He's calling you because he wants to get you into a new sense of who he is, a new obsession, if you like. See, we go from oppression to obsession, and Easter represents that. If you go to the next slide, before Christ we were oppressed with sin. Now go back. After Christ we were obsessed with the reality of his presence. See, Paul's obsession, I love this, and this is from the Amplified Version in Philippians 3:10. It says this, and this so that you may know him. This was his whole purpose. This was his whole obsession, not with what's wrong with him, but his whole focus now was on his relationship with Christ and how to become more like him. He says, so that I may know him experimentally, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understand the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in the same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows in, and is active in belief. This was his obsession. Not addiction, but Jesus. Not approval, but Jesus. Not anxiety, but Jesus. Not striving, but Jesus. This was his obsession. If you go to the next slide. I love this, and this is how it works. This is how we transform. Is that you have been given a new robe. You have been given some new clothes. You have replaced your grave clothes with a cloak of righteousness. You've traded your filthy rags with a royal robe. In Isaiah 61, it says, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of righteousness. You are saved, you are secure, you are okay, you are right. I love the word righteousness because it simply means that me and God are right. There's not a problem anymore. There's not a problem to be solved, that he has made things right. He's clothed me. When he looks at me, I want you to see this picture. He always looks at me through the cross, right? Now, if I'm standing here and the cross is here, sorry, if Jesus is standing here and the cross is here and I'm standing over here, he can only see me through the cross. What does that mean? He sees me as right with him. He sees me as sinless. Why? Because the cross deals with sin and then he sees me. He only sees me because he's done with brokenness, the pain, the suffering, all that, and he sees me. It's unbelievable that he would see me that way because I see all my problems and he's looking at me and go, you are righteous. And we sit there arguing with him about it. You are wrong. No, you are righteous. You are not covered in failure. You are not dressed in condemnation. You are clothed in Christ. It's a beautiful picture. So I just want to see this. I want to finish. I think I've had enough. Sorry. Oh, yeah, you got lunch to go to or something, don't you? Do people got family stuff on? So, look at this. This is it. This is the change. So in Good Friday, physically we're suffering and weak, and on Easter Sunday we're healed and strong. Spiritually we were forsaken, and he was forsaken. This is Jesus, right? On Good Friday he was suffering and weak, and on Easter Sunday he's healed and strong. He was forsaken and then he was restored. He was in anguish and fear and then he experienced peace and hope. He was rejected and despised and he was loved and exalted, and he was buried and then he was raised. Something changed. Something changed. If you go to the next slide. So I was reflecting on this. What do we need to leave behind in Good Friday? Well, sin and condemnation, shame and guilt and sin's control. And what do we receive today? Forgiveness and freedom and righteousness in Christ. Identity, our old self, our false labels, our broken identity. And then we step in new creation. You're a child of God. You're deeply loved. Our wounds and our hurts. There's bitterness and trauma and unforgiveness on Friday, but it's been done with at the cross, and then there's healing and restoration and wholeness for each one of us when it comes to today. There was loneliness, separation from God and others, and now there's union with Christ and our spiritual family, united with Christ. I love this one. I was thinking about this, striving. I was trying to earn love by my religious effort, trying to do the right thing and make it happen, But there's grace. By grace you've been saved through faith, lest anyone should boast. It's nothing that you've done, it's only what he's done. So there's no more striving. You don't have to earn it. You have to receive it, but you don't have to earn it. So we need to stop striving and start abiding in who he is. Death, spiritual death and hopelessness, eternal life, living hope, resurrected power, a burdened heart, heavy laden with sin and weariness. And he says, a light yoke, joy, renewal through the Spirit, defeat, victim mentality, spiritual defeat, victory, authority, resurrection, identity, and grave clothes. This is the one I talked about. Shame, addiction, old habits, roads of righteousness, new mind, new desires. Something has changed. You've been reprogrammed. I want you to imagine for a moment that you've been through a brutal surgery, life-saving surgery, and you wake up with a fresh breath in your lungs. You don't want to wear your hospital gown forever. You don't want to live in the recovery room forever. You need to get up. You need to walk out. You need to get dressed into your new life, because today is your spiritual discharge day, where we step into something new. And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying, oh yeah, good, I received that, that's easy. But what we need to do is we need to remind us, every time we go back into that old way, we need to remind ourselves and others into who they truly are. Because I keep going back there, and there's guarantee you'll keep going back there. And I'm saying, hey, I need to receive everything that he has. So let me pray for you as we finish up and bless you. Actually, before you do that, just open your eyes for a minute. Look at that screen on the side that it says what we leave behind. I want you to identify with something in that column that you say to yourself, you know what, there's something there that I need to leave behind. This is why Jesus went to the cross. He paid a high price. So, Lord, you know every single person here. You know what their thoughts are. You know what we're thinking, what we're feeling. You know the hesitation sometimes in our hearts that we just don't want to give up things. But I pray that the truth would set us free today in Jesus' name. The truth of your resurrection, the truth of this season. And I break the power of those things that we need to leave behind. And I pray that you would bind up those broken hearts and release those who are oppressed and set the captive free today. And Lord, we want to step into this new life. And for some of us, we haven't done that and we need to receive you today. And I pray that we would do that. We'd walk out of here just saying yes to Jesus. And going, I don't want to be the old person anymore. I want a new life. I want to be a new creation. And so we need to receive Jesus today. We need to do it over and over again and remind ourselves of what he's done for us, that he died and then he rose again to defeat sin, the power of sin, death and Satan and all these attacks on our hearts and minds. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.